comfort that was given to me from the mentor moms when my kids were little. And so I've always wanted to give back to this ministry because of that, and because it's just so exciting to belong to the Lord and watch His loving hands upon our lives. And He fulfills that promise that He says in Luke 12:31, that He will give us all that we need if we'll make the kingdom of God our primary concern, and that we will find Him when we seek Him with our whole heart. So I was raised in an unbelieving family, but I longed to live my life for God once He called me to Himself. I went to a babysitter when I was 3 days old, and my mom went back to work, and my three sisters and I stayed with that sitter, who I called Nana, Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 until I was 12, about 12 years. Yeah. So she was the one that told me about Jesus. I loved her like a mom. It's really close to her. She had a tender heart for the Lord. And she passed away only like 2 years ago when she was 84. So in fifth grade, I went through what I know now to be a false conversion. I attended a church that my parents would drop me off at during the week on a weeknight. And I was taught that if I believed that, or if I asked Jesus into my heart, then He would be my guide and stay by my side. So I did that and thought, okay, this is great. This is what I want. Yeah. Never at that time did I realize the full gospel message. Sin was never talked about. I didn't hear the part that I need to repent and ask for forgiveness of my sins and then follow Christ. And yes, He'll be by your side and be by your guide. So for all those years, I made a mess of my life because I kind of was adding God to my life instead of seeking Him with my whole heart. So at 25, when I heard the full gospel, I repented. Repented of my sin. I started asking God for guidance. Stopped depending on myself. I knew I made a mess of things. The Lord let me marry the love of my life, my husband Tom. He's the love of my life after Jesus. Jesus is first, for sure. And Tom and I got married. I got baptized. And God blessed us with two girls, Lindsay, who's 26 now, and Ashley, who's 22. So Tom and I prayed regularly for our girls, for their salvation, and for their mates ever since they were in the womb, because those are the two of the most important things, most important decisions that you could ever make in your life. And God has honored those prayers, I'm happy to say. So after years of working full-time, before we had our girls, and then when God blessed us with our firstborn, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't want to give up all that time like my mom had done. And then I didn't feel close to hers, and I didn't want that for our girls. I wanted to stay with them. So it started off that way. I got to be home. And then when Lindsay was about 6 months old, that's our firstborn, my husband said, you're going to need to go back to work. And I just cried my eyes out. No, please, I'll do anything. You can sell my car. I'll babysit, whatever. So luckily, the Lord honored that. I just wanted to be close to them and teach them about Jesus and not feel distant from them. So that's what I did. We prayed about it, and I contemplated ways that I could help financially. And I said to my husband, I'll babysit another child. The Lord brought another baby. So it's kind of like I had twins. So I had like two, like six-month-old babies, which I didn't know that much about babies because we didn't have any in our family. So the Lord's just like, well, let's just make it easy for you. Just do everything in double, you know? So it was awesome. So she would pay me on Friday night for the week, and I'd say bye-bye, and I'd take that cash. I'd go to the grocery store. The Lord would stretch those dollars out. It would take care of us for the week. And I was so thankful that the Lord let me stay home. So in raising our two little ladies that the Lord let me stay home with, I knew that if I would teach them about Jesus, and if I could be a role model for them, and if he would choose them and they would follow him with their whole heart, everything else in life would be secondary. I wasn't really thinking about the details. I'm just thinking Jesus. I'm going to give them Jesus. I'm going to keep my heart clean before the Lord, stay close to him, and he'll take care of everything. If you have Christ, you have everything. So I clung to God's promises, and at that time I chose my life verse, which was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. But I chose the Living Bible paraphrase, and it's funny because my kids can recite it too. I mean, we would just say it over and over. Don't worry about anything. Interesting, we're going through this at church right now. Cool. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend. His peace will keep your hearts and minds quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus. Love that. I needed that because I was a worrier. You know, apart from Christ, I would just worry everything through in my mind. Well, what if about this? And the Lord's like, sinful. You need to stop that. So I needed to cling to that scripture, and I did, and it became a new pattern for me, a new way of life. So it was then that I found MOPS, which is similar to what you have. And I remember seeing it in the church bulletin. And I got really excited about it because I was home with the two twins, and I'm like, oh, I want some ladies, to glean from and to be with at the same stage of life. But we didn't have the money for that. So I remember the day clearly. I saw it and I prayed about it. And as I waited for my husband to see it and answer, I knew that if the Lord wanted it, and then if my husband said yes, then I would get to be a part of it. And sure enough, he said, yes, I think that would be a great idea for you to be in it. So I went in with a Titus 2 woman, being that I didn't have a mom that followed Christ. I did have my Nana, but she was older, and I wanted to be with women in the same stage of life and glean from more. I mean, some more women too. So I stayed in MOPS for about 8 years, and it just changed my life. It taught me so much. And I hope that you feel as blessed being a part of this ministry as I did. God is so kind to provide it for us. Yeah. So after I had to graduate from MOPS, you get pushed out of the nest, right? Your kids grow, and time to go move on. And then I found another ministry that was super, super blessing. It's called Moms in Prayer International. And that is a ministry where we pray for our children and other children's, or other moms' children's, and the children's schools scripturally using the Acts format. So I was there for like 13 years. So I'm like a lifer in all these things until I get kicked out again. So that was a great joy too, to pray weekly with other women, other godly women, and hear, to glean from them and just hear their hearts. And it was just super encouraging. And so I'll tell you a little bit more on that later. So now, Miss Darcy, I would like to share with you a little 2-minute YouTube clip and see if you identify with this day in the life of a mom.
I
Lucy. We grew up on Lucy, but I'm not saying that Lucille Ball was the perfect mom. There is no perfect mom, right? But I was hoping to remind you that you're very needed and you're very cherished too in your families. You might not hear it often, but you are. God has chosen you to be moms, and that's a really high and special calling. So did you identify with the clip? Or is it more like your baby's sick, your other children are fighting, your husband's having a hard time at work and he wants to talk, your car's on the fritz and you don't have the money to put it in the shop, and you're exhausted? Is that maybe more like it sometimes? We all have days that are really hard. So let's pray and look to what Christ says for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the amazing God that you are. Lord, you are holy and you are pure and you are good and righteous and all that is amazing. Lord, thank you for the privilege for us to have children. Lord, thank you for the task that you've placed before us and that you promise us that we don't go at it alone, that you are right there with us, holding our hands, leading and guiding us, Lord. Pray that you will give us your words now as we seek your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so our first biblical example of parenting, let's look at Lois and Eunice from 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Here we'll see that mothers do influence their children. And one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is to be a godly mom. We'll never do it perfectly, but if we ask God for help and wisdom, he'll show us the way. So in this passage, it tells us that Lois and Eunice trained up Timothy from infancy. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul's speaking to Timothy, and he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So we know from Acts 16:1 that Timothy's father was not a believer yet. And Lois and Eunice did what was right in God's sight by training up Timothy in the Word of God. They stayed the course. And this, the Bible tells us, prepared Timothy, when he heard the gospel from Paul, to accept Jesus as Savior. So it's just laying the groundwork. Yeah, being faithful, just laying that groundwork. So I can imagine that these women were probably discouraged at times, but they kept their eyes on Jesus and their responsibility, and they brought Timothy up in the ways of the Lord. So even if you have an unbelieving spouse who's not open to God's word and training the children in God's ways, you can still have a tremendous impact on the lives of your children. God has a perfect plan. Then 2 Timothy 3:14-15 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for the man of God, so the man of God can be equipped for every good work. So secondly, let's look at the wise man, okay, from Matthew 7:24-27. It's there in your notes. All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house upon solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, that's a vivid picture, huh? Ouch. It's coming, and it's coming hard. And the floods rise and the storm beat against his house, it won't collapse, for it's built on rock. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like the man who builds his house on the sand, like Megan and the girls sing for us. For when the rains and floods come and storm winds beat against his house, it will fall with a mighty crash. So the house represents a life. You can tell I teach kindergarten. This is how I visualize it. This is a life, and the rock represents Christ. So only our house or life built on the solid foundation of obedience to God's word stands. This obedience calls for repentance of our sin and God's grace to save us through Christ, the one true God. I also visualize it like this. Just obedience to the Lord. So the cross reference too, I loved. James 1:20-25. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. God promises his blessing. We sure do want that, don't we? Yeah. So as Christians, we're called to live a disciplined life. God's been patient to grow me in this area. This is not, I'm like, spontaneity is king. God's like, no. I have this creative side that like wants to be fed. And so I enjoy spontaneity at times, but God has shown me that this can't be a regular part of my life. It's just a once in a while rarity. So, okay, so let's look at Sarah. Sarah, we know she was wanting to be a mother desperately, and a lot of us felt the same way, right? But the Lord had her wait and wait and wait, and once she was in her old age, and she kept trusting God, God finally did open her womb. This gained her position in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. She's listed along with others who had great faith in God. They trusted him with their whole heart. This would be a great study to go into depth in. I would love to do that one summer. So we see the Lord being gracious to Sarah and opening her womb and giving her a child in her old age, which, you know, was a miracle, right? Because it's not the normal course of life. So of these three examples, we see, number one, to train up your children in the way they should go. And number two, we see to build your life on the Word of God. And number three, we see have faith and be patient to wait on God. He's got a perfect plan. He loves us. So let's ask God to help us be wise, thoughtful, purposeful women for him, like these examples from his word. Let's rest on his word and his promises, not our emotions, because we know those come and go and change, and we can't trust those, but we can trust him. So if we continually seek out his commandments and his promises, he'll comfort our hearts and keep us focused when we're discouraged. And we sure all have that at times. So let's look at God's promises and commandments. That's just a few of them. There's so many. I mean, it's really hard to pick. But first and most important is if we turn from our sin, if we repent and turn away from our sin and trust Christ, we'll be saved. So I've listed the Romans road there. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None are righteous, no, not one. If we turn from our sin, trust Christ, we'll have eternal life with him. So that's the first and most important commandment and promise. Then, secondly, we see that the unfolding of God's words gives light and understanding to the simple. Well, that speaks to me because I feel like I'm simple. And actually God's ways are just clear and clean and pure and simple. It's Satan who is the author of confusion, not Christ. And thirdly, we see God wants us to be like children in the way that we depend on him and trust him. The beauty of all your children, that simple, those simple hearts, those pure hearts, God calls us to be like that, to have trust in him. And then we see, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These commands I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Just make it a constant part of your day and your life, and just bring the Lord into every aspect of your children's lives as you are by their side and you have that privilege of being by their side. Then he says, obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always till the very end of the age. You're not going at it alone, you're going at it with the Lord if you've turned to him. And then 6, we see that no trial has seized you. Now, trial, the word is temptation in the Bible, but it actually translates to the word trial. So no trial has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted in the trial beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted in the trial, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. From 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, the point of this scripture is that every difficult circumstance that enters a believer's life can either do one of two things. It can strengthen you if you obey God and you remain confident in his care. Okay, that's what we want, right? Or secondly, it can become a matter of sin and evil if a believer chooses instead to doubt and disobey God. That's not pleasing to the Lord. So we don't want to go there. We want to trust him and be confident in what he's doing, even though we might not see it or we might not understand it. We can just stand there and be confident in what he's doing. So take heart. Jesus carries our sorrows. Give your burdens to the Lord and he'll carry them. Psalms 55:22. Wow. He'll carry those for us. He doesn't want us to carry those. He wants to carry them. He dries our tears. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Isaiah 25:8. He prays for us. Wow, the perfect Heavenly Father is praying for us. He says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but to those you have given me, for they are yours. John 17:9. And he also carries us close to his heart. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Isaiah 40:11. Wow, we are so incredibly blessed. Okay, so let's think about some ways to overcome discouragement that we can implement in our lives. When we read and obey God's word and begin to know his character and attributes, we can be very confident in who he is. So Miss Darcy, would you give us our slide? Okay, so these are the characters of God. This really helped me when my kids were little, because it's when you've got little bitty babies and they need you and they're crying, and you need some way sometimes to some quick things to meditate on. So I would choose one of these. I would choose like one of these for a time and like write the scriptures down in my prayer journal. I'd meditate on them and read them and dwell upon them and get to know him better. Because when we truly know who God is, he sets our hearts at ease, that he's in control and he can handle anything that concerns us. If he's powerful enough to save us, he can definitely care for everything in our lives, large and small. So ways you can make time for this too is like Chelsea was saying, potty training, all in the potty training, always potty training. So you're in the bathroom. So put the 3x5 cards in the bathroom. Or take a wipe off marker and write it on your mirror in the bathroom. You know, whatever speaks to your heart and what will help you with each day and with those different seasons. Yeah. Okay, and then the next slide too, please, Darcy. Here are the names of God. So yeah, these are on the your last page on the back, I think. And then, yeah, names of God, attributes of God. The more we know who He really is, we're just in awe of Him, and it just sets our hearts at ease. So it's important that we make time for Him on a regular basis is ideal, right? I know we can have a tendency to clean the house or call a friend. You got a little bit of free time. But it's best if we put the Lord first. And I've had to pray about this in my life a lot because, again, you know, I'm not disciplined. That's not my natural bent. So I've asked the Lord to, for example, Lord, please get me to bed early enough so that I can get up before my family gets up in the morning and spend time alone with Him. I wanted to be rested, and that's when I'm clearest in my thinking is in the morning. So, and then it grew to become just the most precious part of my day that I would never want to give up. He just taught me so much and carried me through those times that would be difficult. That alone time with Him is just something that I long for and look forward to and became a regular part of my life. So secondly, we look at memorizing and meditating on Scripture specific to what your needs are today. So have you chosen a life verse? And it can change throughout time. But for me, I would stay on the same verse for even years. I would stay on that until I just, because it would comfort me that much. So you're at a season in your life that's very physically demanding. But it won't always be that way. Just cling to the Lord. He wants to carry you. He wants to carry you through it. So another thing we can do to overcome discouragement is to pray. Very important. And we can pray scripturally, as we've been talking about this morning. Again. And next slide, please, Darcy. Okay, so this, let's see if I can do this. Okay, so this was part of Mom's In Touch that I was telling you about. So we would meet, this is an international ministry, this was a sweet thing. This was one mom whose children, now this is for when your children start school, so kindergarten and up. But there was one mom who was burdened about her child going to school. And so she said, Lord, please give me one other mom to pray with while my child goes to school. So he did. He honored that prayer. And from that, it has grown into an international ministry. It's throughout the world. So we would meet together once a week, and we would we chose the Acts format. So we would praise God for who He is. We would choose one of those attributes that was on your chart. We would spend time, we would read those all out loud, and then we would pray over that. Thank you, God, for, you know, that You're wise. And then all of those scriptures would penetrate our hearts. Then we would have confession of our sins. Now, we did it silently, but I'm in a Bible study now that does it openly, and it's been so precious because then I know two things happen for me. I know how I can pray for that precious sister. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, I'm sinning and I'm doing that too. I need to repent of that as well. So and the Lord says, confess your sins one to another, right? So I kind of wish we would have done it out loud, but that's just the way they have set it up. So, and then we would have a time of Thanksgiving. And then we would break into groups of just two, and we would pray for each other's children scripturally and for the needs of the school and whatever was happening. And it was really, really neat because you would get teamed up with a mom that you had never met. You didn't know her children or anything. But we would ask the Lord to show us how to, the Holy Spirit to tell us how to pray. And that mom would pray for you, not even knowing anything about you. She would be praying these incredible words from the Holy Spirit on your life, and it would just be such a great comfort. So prayer is so important. The Lord let me be a part of that ministry for like 13 years and hearing those other women pray and learning from them as they trusted and walked with Christ was really, really precious. Okay, so next under prayer, we think about a prayer journal. Chris was talking about this yesterday in church, I believe. So next slide, please, Chris. So in our MOPS program, we made little prayer journals. Okay, and next slide, please, Stars. So what we would do, so we would choose, I chose to make a page for each member of my family and one for myself, put their picture there. And then next slide, please, Stars. Then I would write out a scripture to pray over her life again until I felt the Lord had made, she had made progress in that area. Next slide, please. So here's one that I did for our Ashley. Turn this around. So my prayer for you is that you will overflow more and more with love for others and at the same time keep on growing in spiritual knowledge and insight. For I pray that you will always see clearly the difference between right and wrong. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. So you can see I chose it in May of 07. And then I would put a little P next to it when there was a praise. So I was praising the Lord. She got 5 outstanding citizenships on a report card. Then there's an R next to the next one. That's a request. So Lord, please be her guide on the field trip to Forest Home. And then there's some more praises that go on. I'm surprised there's so many praises that time. I pulled out that page and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of praises. Very encouraging to pull these things up years later and see what the Lord has done and how he honored those prayers. So I made those for my children and also for myself where I was struggling. And I found one of mine that said, Lord, please help me to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Yeah, that was something the Lord had to work on in my life. So prayer journals can be really encouraging too as you look back and see what the Lord's doing, because we kind of tend to forget about that. We're more in the here and now and sometimes the what ifs. I know I was, so. Okay, and next slide, please, Darcy. I found these little, before I ever had a prayer journal, I found these little things stuck inside my prayer journal as I was preparing this. But, so these were what we were praying for them when they were little. Help Lynn and Ashley to listen to their dad's instruction and not forsake their mom's teaching, Proverbs 1:8. And then, Lord, please keep them from the wrong mate and save for the right mate. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. The Lord has honored those prayers. It's amazing to think back. Yeah, it's his word coming back to him, right? It's nothing more powerful than him and his word. Okay, and then fourthly, I would encourage you too to teach your children by every creative means possible. So be consistent with them. They will grow to look forward to this, their time, however you prayerfully set it up. You can teach them through the Bible stories with little dolls. And let them each take one and like act out, you know, you could read it to them and then let them act out like, here's Jesus, here's Mary, this could be Peter, it could be Paul, it could be whoever. And you could teach them and they could act them out And there's just so many creative things you could do with it. Then you could, when Daddy came home at night, he could give them a little, look what we learned today in the Bible, Daddy. Or Grandma and Grandpa could come over and they could watch them and applaud them for what they learned and praise them for that. You could even take a timer and you could switch like characters if they want it, you know, cause no, I want to be Jesus, you know. So you could, wouldn't that happen? Yeah. So you could just take a timer. When the timer rings, then you can switch, you know, and just enjoy that time with them. Enjoy teaching them. We actually, when our kids got, when they were little, we would give them cardboard boxes. Like we would buy a we'd buy something and we'd give them a big cardboard box and we'd let them make like windows in it. We'd cut out windows for them and they would draw on the box, and then they would create a story, and then they'd work on it for the whole week. So every day they'd work on it. And then Friday we would have, so we'd have other little friends in the neighborhood that would come over and do this with them. They'd just get a little certain allotted time. So they'd come over and they'd work on it all week. Then on Friday, we would invite their parents over. We'd get a pizza and they would give us a little show. They had so much fun with that. It was just precious. Those times were really precious. Okay, so you can also have your kids sit at the table and turn on the timer, like 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes for your 3-year-olds, 5 to 10 minutes for your 4-year-olds. And by the time they get to age 5 and 6, and we have them in kindergarten, then we have them sit for 15 minutes. You probably think they can't do that, but they can. They really can. We have some rules that we go over with them first. We sit, like quiet feet and hands. Don't touch your neighbor. Raise your hand. Don't speak until you're called on. First time obedience. You could pick your own rules for your family and just write them out on paper. Maybe put a little drawing with them. We put a little cute drawing with them. And you could have your time with them. It could make it really special and really precious. Another thing you could do, which kids love, just take a paper sack. And this was actually Aaron, the high priest in the temple. I mean, they just have so much fun with this. They just giggle through it, but they're learning. They're learning while you're having fun with them. Yeah, there's so much you can do with so little. And those are just the most precious times. They're really, really sweet. So enjoy them. And then encourage them too. One example for that would be sticker charts, which I'm sure you guys are probably all very aware of sticker charts. But I love the sticker charts because then they get to see, oh, I didn't have such a good day that day. But tomorrow, you've got tomorrow. You can, if you, you know, obey first time obedience, you'll get that happy face sticker. Then I also, in encouraging them, I just started with, at age 4, I started with cooking class for our girls. I wanted the girls to grow up, to be able to care for themselves and bless their husbands, if God gave them husbands. So we would pick a recipe together that started out just really simple, like cookies or desserts or whatever, and then we graduated to lunches and dinners, and we'd shop together for the ingredients, and then we'd prepare them and serve them to Dad. And of course, he was always, you know, thrilled for whatever they made, even if it was a flop, he was still thrilled. sometimes we would invite other children over to join us, and even like give stuffed animals, we'd put stuffed animals there and give them fictitious names, and it was cooking school. You know, kids just love to think about going to school, you know. I'm so big, I'm going to school, you know. School at home, great. And then we had a daughter who was very strong-willed. And so I really prayed about that because our firstborn wasn't, it was our secondborn, and they were so different in parenting them. And I just cried out to the Lord because I'm not understanding this little girl who wants to lead the family in everything. And I'm like, but this, I don't want to squelch this because that's a good quality. So I wanted to give her boundaries. So we, from our cooking class, evolved dessert club, which she got to lead. So we chose a time, I think it was every 2 weeks or so, she would get us up in her bedroom, and she had made, we had helped her make little things that she wanted to lead school. Daddy would be a student, we would all be students, and she would lead the class, and then we would have the dessert that we had made from cooking class. Just little things like that. But I felt that the Lord honored that because she had so much to give, but she's got to give it within the parents' boundaries, right? So that was a fun times, lots of laughs with that. And I'm sure you have your own ideas too, tailored to your own children's personalities and their gifts. And then we see we should serve the body of Christ too. The Lord says in Deuteronomy 13:4 to serve him. And God wants us to be connected to the body. And it's important as we obey him and we model that for our children that our children see that. I chose the area, like Dawn was telling you, in our children's Sunday school when our oldest, to serve when our oldest was four. So she was four, and I'm like, Lord, I'm going to go work for you. I'm going to go serve you. And I'm like, I got in there. I'm like, this is not work. This is so much fun. Yeah. I started out as a helper for 2 years, and then I followed our daughter up to first grade, and then I stopped there, and I stayed there ever since because I just love that age. Then as she grew, and she went on to second, third grade, and up, I would still like keep her with me, and she would be a helper. And and lo and behold, I didn't expect the Lord to do this, but our girls chose children's ministry to serve now. One is a teacher, one's teaching, and the other one is a helper, and they love it. So it's just the way the Lord worked it out. So another thing I wanted to encourage you with is next slide, please, Darcy. Oh, next one. So here's what we're teaching your children, too, once they get to kinder. Okay, I know yours are like 0 to 5, so you might have some kinders. If not, you will soon. But we're talking to them about obeying you, what sin is, and to have a good heart attitude, and what Jesus has done for us. So this one we see, we're telling them, This is from Titus. Every person has a disobedient heart until he knows and loves Jesus. So you can't really quite tell, but that heart is red, and then it's got a black inner heart with it. So we're talking about when you have sin in your heart is hard. You don't want to obey. You want only your way. Okay, next slide, please, Dar. And then the Bible tells us it's good to obey those who are in charge of you. The policeman, your family at home with the toys, your teacher at school. So this heart is just all red. There's no black in it because these children are obeying. Okay, next slide, please, sir. It's bad conduct to talk badly about somebody, but it's good conduct to be kind. So half of the heart is black and then with red. Then the part where they're obeying is yellow with red. And our own Mary Klepacki, thank you, Darcy, from Czechoslovakia, she does these for us. I wish she was here today. She makes the most precious things for them. She thought of this, but just a simple truth that impacts your children. Okay, and then the next one, please, Stars. So here, this heart is all black. There's no red on this heart. It says, don't hang around with troublemakers who don't want God's good conduct. It's all scriptural. We've got our Bibles. We're teaching them and showing them these visuals. So we are trying to show your children how important it is to obey you, to listen to your parents. This is what God wants. Okay, and then lastly, I would say seek out godly help in the areas that you feel you're lacking in. Proverbs 15:22 tells us that. As I shared with you, was my strong-willed child. I would just be throwing my arms up sometimes going, oh, Lord, I do not get her. She's eating the whole pumpkin pie and hiding underneath the table and not thinking about anybody else who wants some pumpkin pie and then saying that she didn't do it. I'm like, really? So, yeah, the Lord was very patient with me. I have all my own sin that I have to bring before the Lord first before I can even deal with hers, right? So he was very patient to give me resources. So you have a lot of resources available to you, too. Our church has a lot of approved books, and I know you're getting them here as well. But Paul Tripp's Shepherding a Child's Heart, Paul Tripp was a big help for me as well. Preparation for the Toddler Years by Gary Ezo. Thank you. Don't Make Me Count to Three by Ginger Plowman, who now has a new last name, but I think you probably know who she is. Wise Words for Moms by Ginger Plowman. And then there's also a download called The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. And I got these from Beth Plesnick, too, so we know that they're approved. So in closing, I just want to say to you, be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart, all of you that hope in the Lord. He's right there with you. And daily remember that we're sinners too, imperfect with our own strengths and weaknesses. And just like the Lord is patient with us, I pray that he'll be patient with me and my children and others too. And then also remember that your children belong to the Lord. He loves them even more than you do. Doesn't seem like that could be possible, but he does. And they're entrusted to us for a short time. Those times when you're really exhausted, just remember, this time is really short, it goes fast. And they're works in progress, as we are. The Lord is faithful and righteous, and we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Philippians 1:6-7. So God bless you as you live for him and serve him. Thank you.